Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Regime Change Inside the Imperial Presidency of Donald Trump is a 2026 nonfiction political book by Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan that examines Donald Trump's second presidency through detailed reporting and extensive source work. Positioned as a real-time account of a transforming White House, the book focuses on how Trump's return to power unfolded after years of political conflict, legal jeopardy, and public polarization. Rather than treating the presidency as a normal policy story, it presents the administration as an expansion of executive authority operating with diminished institutional restraint. The book draws on roughly 1,000 interviews and reported access to private deliberations, aiming to show how decision-making, loyalty, retribution, and personal instinct shape governance. Its purpose is both explanatory and documentary, to capture how Trump's style of rule altered the presidency itself and to provide readers with an inside view of the people, pressures, and mechanisms behind that shift. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book frames Trump's second term as an imperial presidency. The central thesis of the book is that Trump's second presidency is not simply a continuation of his first term, but a more consolidated and less constrained exercise of power. Haberman and Swan describe a White House where traditional checks have weakened, advisors have adapted to the president's instincts, and institutional resistance is far less effective. This framing matters because it moves the discussion beyond partisan controversy and toward a structural argument about how modern executive power can be stretched when, internal, guardrails fail. The book treats Trump not as a conventional policymaker, but as a leader who sees authority as personal and expansive, making the presidency feel less like an office bounded by law and more like a platform for unilateral action. That lens gives the book its organizing logic and explains why so much of the reporting centers on decision-making, enforcement, and the erosion of normal constraints. Secondly, inside the Situation Room and Oval Office decisions that define the administration, a major strength of the book is its focus on the closed-door settings where consequential decisions are made. The reporting places readers inside Situation Room and Oval Office discussions involving war, immigration, border enforcement, and the use of federal power in domestic unrest. These scenes are important because they show governance as a process of improvisation, hierarchy, and personality rather than a clean chain of policy deliberation. The book suggests that Trump often acts on instinct, while the people around him either try to shape that instinct or accommodate it. By emphasizing these private meetings, the authors show how extraordinary policy outcomes can emerge from a small number of conversations among senior officials. This approach also helps explain why the book has attracted attention for its near-verbatim reconstructions of meetings. It presents the internal mechanics of the presidency as the real story, not just the public announcements that follow them. Thirdly, presidential power, retaliation, and the transformation of the Justice Department. Another core theme is the use of government power as an instrument of personal and political retribution. The book argues that Trump's second term is marked by a willingness to turn the Justice Department and related institutions toward punishing enemies, settling scores, and protecting allies. This is significant because it suggests a shift from neutral administration to overtly instrumental rule, where legal and executive tools are used to pursue loyalty and revenge. The authors connect this tendency to Trump's broader view that legal conflict, indictments, and public attacks have made him stronger rather than weaker. That interpretation helps explain why the book places so much emphasis on the psychological and political effects of his previous prosecutions and controversies. The result is a portrait of a presidency in which accountability mechanisms are not merely resisted but repurposed, raising broader questions about how durable democratic institutions are when confronted by a leader who treats them as personal assets. Fourthly, loyalty, access, and the inner circle that sustains Trump's power. The book also examines the ecosystem of aides, advisors, and loyalists who surround Trump and help sustain his governing style. Rather than presenting the White House as a stable bureaucracy, it depicts a network organized around devotion, proximity, and selective influence. This matters because it shows that Trump's power depends not only on his own choices, but on the behavior of those who manage information, absorb pressure, and reinforce his preferences. Insider portraits of staff members reveal how loyalty can become a governing principle, shaping who is heard, who is sidelined, and which warnings are ignored. The reporting also suggests that some advisors are skeptical in private, even when they appear deferential in public, creating a gap between internal judgment and official action. By focusing on these relationships, the book explains how an administration can function even when it is chaotic, not through coherence, but through a shared understanding that access to Trump is the key currency of influence. Lastly, health secrecy, media reporting, and the difficulty of documenting a guarded presidency. A final important dimension is the challenge of reporting on a president whose personal health and private decision-making are unusually concealed. The book highlights how difficult it is to obtain reliable information about Trump's physical condition and how closely guarded such details remain within his orbit. This is not merely a biographical issue. It affects the public's ability to evaluate leadership, capacity, and continuity in office. The authors also implicitly make a case for investigative journalism itself, showing that major political truths often require years of interviewing, corroboration, and careful source handling. Their work demonstrates both the power and the limits of access reporting. They can reconstruct private conversations and reveal hidden dynamics, but they must also navigate confidentiality, incomplete information, and the risk of gaps. This theme gives the book a broader civic function, because it shows how much democratic understanding depends on reporters who can penetrate secrecy without relying on official transparency. In conclusion, Regime Change is best suited for readers who want a serious, deeply reported account of how Trump's second presidency operates from the inside. Political journalists, scholars of the American presidency, students of executive power, and readers trying to understand contemporary U.S. politics will find it especially useful. Its practical value lies in showing how loyalty networks, institutional weakening, and personal instinct shape government outcomes in real time. Its intellectual value comes from the way it connects individual scenes in the White House to larger questions about constitutional power, democratic restraint, and the changing meaning of the presidency. Compared with many books on Trump, this one stands out because it is not only interpretive, but also heavily reported. Built from extensive interviews and access to private deliberations, it aims to capture a presidency as it is unfolding, which gives it a documentary quality that is rare in political publishing. For readers seeking not just commentary on Trump, but a sustained explanation of how his administration functions, this book offers one of the clearest and most detailed insider portraits available. If you would like to support Maggie Haberman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.